The sermon today is titled, The Unfolding of Your Word Brings Light. The unfolding of your word brings light. I take the title from what's written in Psalm 119. In verse 129, it reads, Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. This psalmist, we don't even know what his name is. This is the longest psalm in the entire Bible. And one of the things I love about this psalm is that it is all about the Word of God. It's all about the Word of God. And the psalmist had an exalted view of God's Word. He looked up to God's Word. And he said, your statutes are wonderful. This is not a natural view. We don't naturally open the Word and see the wonders of God's Word. We must learn to appreciate the value of God's Word. The psalmist had gotten to a place where he hungered for the word so much that the best way he could describe it is, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your command. Now, there's only one animal I know growing up that panted, and that is a dog. When that dog was hungry or thirsty, and he saw himself, he had such a deep feeling, a deep desire for God's word, that he saw himself panting for the word of God. In Genesis chapter 1, if you turn there, you know, the very first chapter of Genesis opens up with these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning the first day. You know, what I love about Genesis is that it speaks about how the earth was created. It says that the earth was barren and empty. And God transformed a barren and formless and empty rock just by speaking. And the first words recorded by God was, let there be light. Without light, there would be no life. And if there were no light on the earth, mankind would quickly perish. Light is essential to human life. But there's not only physical light, there is also spiritual light. And in John chapter 1, sort of following the example that Moses set in Genesis chapter 1, the Apostle John wrote this in his opening verses. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John says that in the beginning was the Word, and that the Word was God. And he illuminates an important spiritual truth, that God and the Word are exactly the same. He says it this way, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we only get to know our Creator through His Word. Are you with me here? If I want to get to know someone, I must spend time with that person to get to know them. When Rob and I came to Queens, we did not know Cedric and Faith Boaz. And over the course of 5 years, we've gotten to know Cedric and Faith. How did we get to know Cedric and Faith? By spending time with them. That's the only way we could build a friendship. It's the only way I could get to understand his likes and dislikes. There's no substitute for time. So that's how we understand, if we want to get to know someone, we get to spend time with them. We need to spend time with them, right? But if I want to get to know God, I must spend time with Him. And I must spend quality time and quantity time. You feeling me here, church? If I want to know God, I must spend time in His Word. And it is in spending time with God in His Word that He speaks to me. He speaks to my heart. He corrects my thinking. His Word comforts me when my heart is wounded. He encourages me when I am discouraged. He gives me hope when I am in despair. I receive all these benefits from God by spending time in His Word. A man or woman who does not have the time to spend with God through His Word is basically saying to God, "You're not important to me. Because I've got more pressing things to do in my day." The person who wants to communicate love of God must humble themselves at His Word and allow Him to speak to their spirit and to their hearts on a daily basis. Jesus, in John chapter 3, spoke of the spiritual condition of man. And in John chapter 3, it says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus was without question the great physician of our soul. And he said that there are two distinct spiritual realms: the realm of light and the realm of darkness. It must be your primary desire in your life to know which realm you are in. We all make a flawed assumption. You know what that assumption is? We all assume that we are in the light, don't we? We assume that because we think the best of ourselves. No one wants to be in the realm of darkness. I don't think anybody woke up this morning telling themselves, "I'm in the realm of darkness." In fact, most people are completely oblivious to the spiritual realm in which they live. I confess, I was once ignorant of the spiritual realm in which I lived. But just because we want to be in the light, and we desire to be in the light, does not mean that we are in the light. You know, I would like to be playing basketball for the Miami Heat. When I watch the Heat, I am in the game. I'm not a spectator. I'm in there. I see myself passing the ball to Dwayne Wade. And when the Heat won their back-to-back championships, I was on the court, in my mind, celebrating and dribbling as we lifted the championships back to back. Right, Ludwig? I know you would like that, Ludwig. I put that in there just for you, bro. But just because I desired to be on the Heat doesn't make me a Heat player. Can you feel me? And the question is, how can someone know with certainty where they're at spiritually? How does a person know where they're at spiritually? We come to know where we are at by allowing the light of the Word of God to penetrate our minds. Because this is what light does. We're seeing what we're seeing right now because light comes into our eyes and we see the chairs and the auditorium. If we turned off all the lights and we blocked out all the light coming in from the windows, even though your eye is fully functioning, you won't see anybody unless you have spider vision. You won't see anybody because you need light to
to penetrate your eye so that you can see.
Well, there is light that comes from God. It's spiritual light that penetrates our mind, and it illuminates where we are at and the realm in which we live. The scriptures speak about the deeds of darkness. When a person is dwelling in the dark realm, they will act in accordance with the environment that they're in. When a person is living in spiritual darkness, they will act in accordance with the environment that they're in. And in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote about, and I quote, the deeds of darkness. The Apostle Paul wrote about the deeds of darkness in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 8, he says to the disciples there, he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible." And in this passage, if you caught it there in verse 11, Paul says that people in the darkness are involved in the fruitless deeds of darkness. And so if someone wants to know with certainty where they are at spiritually and what realm they're operating in, all you have to do is examine your deeds. And your deeds will tell you where you're at spiritually. A person knows that they are in the darkness if they are practicing the deeds of darkness. And so you may ask, "Well, Sean, what are the deeds of darkness? What are they?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Because in the verses right above the text that we just read, in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 3, Paul clearly outlined what the deeds of darkness are. And he says in Ephesians 5, verse 3, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." I remember when I started reading the Bible, and I saw passages like this. I have to confess, I had to do a double take. I'm like, this is in the Bible? Now, mind you, I'd grown up in church for years, but I had never heard publicly from the pulpit of the church that I attended, this passage, or any other such passage which clearly articulated what sin was. But when I started reading the Bible, I was shocked that these things were in the Bible. These are some of the deeds of darkness. And if you are practicing these things, then you are living in the realm of darkness. Let's talk about them for a minute. Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is any form of sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage. You may be intending to get married. You may love that person deeply, and you may be living with that person. But if you are involved in sexual intercourse outside of marriage, according to the scriptures, you are living in a realm of darkness. What is impurity? Impurity is when you are having sexual thoughts about someone you are not married to. In other passages, it's called lust, where you look at someone and you are fantasizing about having sexual intercourse with that person. Men can lust after women, and men can lust after men, and vice versa. It's exposing yourself to things like pornography. Because what does pornography do? It simply arouses your mind to be thinking about having sex with people that you're not married to. And that is lust. Greed. Being consumed with an insatiable desire to accumulate material things. Men and women can be greedy for money, the desire to have more and more of it. We can be greedy for educational degrees. I need another degree, and another one, and another one. We can be greedy for homes, and cars, and possessions. The critical thing about a greedy person is that they have time to pursue these material things, but they have no time for God. And that's why Paul says such a person is an idolater. We can put money, homes, and educational degrees on the throne that God belongs. That is idolatry. He speaks about obscenity. What is obscenity? Using foul language. The F-bomb, the B-bomb, the S-bomb, the bomb, bomb, bomb. Right? According to the scriptures, anybody who out from their mouth obscenity comes, that person has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. None. Foolish talk and coarse joking, I think, are self-explanatory. Foolish talk and coarse joking. Talking about stupid stuff. And laughing and joking about stupid stuff. We are warned from the scriptures. No immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's clear. This is an unambiguous declaration. No matter what your opinion is about these practices, Paul clearly says, if you're living this type of life, you are going to hell. Right? And so here's the question I have for you this morning. Are you currently practicing the deeds of darkness? This is the question I have for you. Are you currently practicing the deeds of darkness? Have you been immoral this past week? Have you been using foul language? Now, at some point, in your heart, you may want to push back on what you're hearing today. You may push back by saying, well, everybody's doing these things. Everybody's doing that. And I'm here to tell you, you're not correct. Now, lots of people are doing them, but not everybody. Yeah, people on TV and in the movies, they're immoral. You may have friends at work who are immoral. Gee, you may even have some family members that are immoral. But I'm not talking about them. They're not here. I'm talking to you. You're here. Based on the scriptures you heard this morning, what condition are you in? Are you in the light or are you in the darkness? You see, the church is not a place where we gather on Sundays just to sing nice songs, to dress nicely, and simply to talk to people who you like. Church is a place where God's people gather to hear the word of God and to submit to the authority of God's word. We come to know where we stand when the light from God's word unfolds in our minds. When the light from God penetrates the mind of our darkness, that's when we see things. And so I ask you today, as you've heard from the light of truth, you've heard the words of your spiritual creator, what is he revealing in your life? What are you seeing in your heart? What is there? What realm are you living in? In the realm of the light? Or the realm of the darkness? You see, some of you may look and go, well, man, if that's the case, then I'm living in the darkness. And if you've come to that conclusion, this is where your salvation begins. Because a person must first realize that they are in the darkness, that they are in a prison of darkness, for them to realize, hot diggity dog, I gotta get out of here. Salvation begins at self-awareness and realizing what condition you are in. And it's instructive that the scriptures that we just read were written to Christians. These scriptures were not written to non-Christians. These epistles and these gospels that we're reading were written to the church, to the disciples. Why? Because it's the Christians who must surrender to the authority of God. Because we can't say, well, everybody in the world is doing this, therefore, I get some exemption. No, people in the world who are practicing the deeds of darkness are living in the realm of darkness. They have not surrendered to the authority of God's word. That is why they're living in ignorance in the darkness. Why look to people living in the darkness to be an example for your life? It doesn't matter how many people are living in the darkness. The whole world could be in the darkness, but that does not give me an excuse to join them. You feeling me? It's the Christians who must reflect the light of God's word. Because as we sit and read the word of God, the light from his word unfolds in our minds. And it is the light that drives the darkness out. That is the truth. And so the more I submit myself to reading the word and being challenged by the word, the more the darkness that is in my mind gets driven out. And that's why that verse in Psalm 119, verse 130 is so powerful. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. What is a simple person, or who is a simple person? A simple person, a simple man or woman, is somebody who is just ignorant, unaware. It's a person who evaluates things, everything based on their feelings. And so if they don't feel something, they don't act on it. That's a simple person. You know, some of these things we're talking about, you're not going to feel. Why? Because we've grown up in the darkness. We're surrounded by people in the darkness. We're bombarded in the media that's full of darkness. And so we've just accepted the darkness as a state of being normal. Something has to come from the outside to help us see where we're at. And that's why we need the word of God. Because it is it's his eternal word. It never changes. It doesn't, his word it's not a popularity contest. This is his eternal word. Each and every generation will hear the same thing from God. Will be able to make the same discernments, whether they're in the darkness or whether they're in the light. So to sum up, what have we been talking about? We've been saying today that there's spiritual light and physical light. That God is the source of both physical and spiritual light. That spiritual truths are revealed to us through his word. That we understand what spiritual realm we are in when we listen to the word of God. The mind that is enlightened by God's word is connected to God. It is discerning. New worlds open up to the men and women who are enlightened by God's word. New opportunities, new paths of behavior are revealed when the word of God is unfolding in your mind. If God can transform a barren rock into a breathing, living, colorful earth, imagine what his word can do on your mind. My prayer is that as we continue to devote ourselves to God's word, as we continue to allow the truth from God's word to penetrate the darkness of our own minds, that we will all stand together in full agreement with the words of this psalmist, and we will proclaim together the unfolding of his words gave us light. It gave us understanding so that we may please him. Amen.